Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On Friday, the Canadian power company PowerX agreed to pay $750 million to settle allegations that it manipulated California's power market during the energy crisis of 2000 and 2001. California Attorney General Kamala Harris said that the company gamed the California energy market by purchasing huge quantities of electricity and then selling it back to California at exorbitant prices. If you lived in California during the 2000-2001 energy crisis, you probably remember the Enron scandal. We saw summer rolling blackouts and high electricity prices, and then Governor Gray Davis was recalled. California Public Utilities Commission said it received $4 billion in refunds and settlements from electricity sellers involved in that crisis, and the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission currently has legal actions against 60 other trading companies involved in the crisis of 2000. Late last month, J.P. Morgan Chase agreed to pay $410 million to settle allegations that it also manipulated energy markets here in California and in the Midwest. $285 million will go to the U.S. Treasury, and $124 million will go to what regulators describe as unjust profits toward ratepayers in California. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission said the bank subsidiary J.P. Morgan Ventures charged electricity grids in these regions as much as 80 times the prevailing power prices at certain hours of the day through manipulative bidding strategies between September 2010 and June 2011. So on today's Your Call, we are continuing our Agenda for a New Economy series by talking about California's energy market. How is it regulated exactly? How do these price manipulation schemes work, and what has really changed since the Enron crisis? Today, we're joined by Mark Lifshur. He's a business writer for the LA Times based in Sacramento, and he's been covering these stories. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're also joined by Marcel Howiger, staff attorney with the Utility Reform Network, or TURN. They represent consumers in proceedings at the CPUC related to various energy issues, including utility rate cases and renewable energy. Hi, Marcel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rose. Thank you very much.
Nice to have you. And we're joined by Tysom Slocum, Director of Public Citizens Energy Program. He focuses on climate change, fracking, nuclear energy, renewables, and commodity market oversight. And Tysom joins us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Tysom. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
Great to have you. So, Mark, let's start off with you. You've been covering these settlements for the L.A. Times. How significant are these settlements? We're talking about just over $1 billion, so a lot of money here.
You mean the latest settlement? We've got about four billion from about close to 50 settlements in the last 10 years or post the crisis. There are a lot of money and they go back into the system. I don't know how much of them actually show up as some sort of difference in people's monthly electric bills, but it's a way for the state to, get even, get some money, identify wrongdoers, and feel that they weren't just victims.
Well, is this significant? I mean, when you're talking about J.P. Morgan Chase, there's no criminal prosecutions. Fire Dog Lake calls it a speeding ticket on the Bankster Highway. I mean, how significant are these? Is this sort of a drop in the bucket, or is this a major settlement?
Well, $750 million that we wrote about last Friday that came from British Columbia Hydroelectric, which is a government electricity company, a Canadian government electricity company. $750 million is a lot of money. The Minister of Mine and Energy up there in British Columbia said we decided to settle because who knows, this could have dragged on and we could have gone to court and wound up with a liability of as much as $3.2 billion. So that's part of the negotiations that occur with these things. As for J.P. Morgan, it's not much money, although the Wall Street Journal had a story yesterday and said that there appears to be, they cite sources unnamed, that says that there's now a criminal investigation at J.P. Morgan. So that's taking it to another level.
Right, because they're dealing with a lot of other scandals.
No, but they're talking about in regard to the electricity in California.
Oh, so
Morgan's appears to be a target of a number of different investigations.
So we'll talk about specifics and how this is actually done. But first, Marcel, what are your thoughts on these settlements? I mean, how often is this happening and how significant are the latest settlements?
Well, I think what's extremely significant are the two settlements with J.P. Morgan and one that we haven't mentioned with Barclays that occurred last year. Those were for almost $1 billion for violations for market manipulation after 2006. Barclays was for 06 through 08, and J.P. Morgan was for 2010 and 2011. So these were market manipulations that have happened after the whole energy crisis in 2000-2001, the BC Hydro settlement was for violations that occurred then, and we've had a lot of changes in our electricity market since then, and a lot of people had hoped that those changes would have eliminated the incredible gaming and manipulation that we saw by Enron and others in 2000, but clearly they have not. We are still having market manipulation going on. And despite the fact that some of our main decision makers want to continue deregulating the market even further.
Tyson Slocum, why is this still happening?
Well, it's still happening because the public still doesn't have adequate control and protections in California's electricity market. There haven't been significant fundamental changes to the way the market operates from the days that Enron was stealing money from the people of California compared to when J.P. Morgan was. And that's because there's actually very little that the state of California can do to protect consumers. Most of the regulatory oversight lies in Washington, D.C., and with a private organization called the California Independent System Operator, or California ISO, that runs the day-to-day market. The really significant thing for us at Public Citizen was that federal regulators weren't the ones that flagged this market manipulation activity by J.P. Morgan. It was the private market monitor, and that's because the federal government has delegated sweeping federal law enforcement powers to a private organization that isn't really accountable to state officials. And what's clear is that we need a full investigation of the way that the California electricity market operates to ensure that we improve transparency and accountability so that the people of California can know whether or not what J.P. Morgan did was just a one-time deal or whether or not there is daily manipulation of the state's electricity market, and we can't know that without a full investigation.
What is this private organization called?
It's called the California ISO, or Independent System Operator. It's a nonprofit that has been tasked by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to develop the rules of the marketplace and to police the market. So FERC doesn't actually police the market on a daily basis. Officials with the California Independent System Operator do all of the federal law enforcement. When they flag inappropriate conduct, they send it to FERC for review.
And who runs the California ISO?
Well, it's a group of folks. I don't know who the head CEO is, but there's a board of directors, and they have a stakeholder process that's largely dominated by the power generators and power marketers and distributional utilities that set up the daily rules that give instructions as to what power sellers can do. And it's very important when you look at the details of the J.P. Morgan case that the way that they really manipulated the market was through taking advantage of all of these additional payments that the California Independent System Operator provides to generators and to power marketers in order to incentivize them to provide power. You know, 15, 20 years ago, power generators had a legal obligation to serve consumers. You had to provide electricity in order to meet the needs of the grid. Now, under this market-based scheme, generators are provided all sorts of incentive payments, and it was J.P. Morgan's detailed understanding of those incentive payment programs that allowed them to manipulate the market and charge Enron-type price gouging rates.
That is Tyson Slocum with Public Citizens Energy Program. We're also joined by Mark Lifshur, business writer with the LA Times, and Marcel Hauiger, staff attorney with the Utility Reform Network. And on today's Your Call, we are talking about energy in California. How is the market regulated? And why is there so much manipulation? We've just seen a couple of settlements in the last 2 weeks. But as Mark said, there's been $4 billion over the last 10 years. And so what questions do you have about this? We're definitely going to do like an Energy 101, because I'm guessing that a lot of us don't really know how we get our energy. Obviously, we get a lot of people were so frustrated in 2000 when we saw the rolling blackouts. We haven't seen that yet, but I know there's various spikes in bills. And why are there so many hands involved in this? Why are banks involved in this market? So if you have some questions about how the energy market works in California, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. And as our guest said, not much has really changed since Enron. So were you aware of that? And what questions do you have? If you work in this field, we'd love to hear from you. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. So can we go over some basics? Mark, let's start with you. I'm guessing that a lot of people really don't know how the energy market works in California. We want our energy to be on at all times. When there's a blackout, people get really angry. But do most people know how this operates?
No, probably not. And first, I'd like to disagree. I want to say that not much has changed since Enron. Plenty has changed since Enron. In the 2000 and 2001 period, following the state's disastrous electric deregulation law of 1996, the way California's electric system operated was complete Wild West crazy and chaotic. What was going on is, and you have to have a bit of history to understand where we've come to now. The legislature deregulated the electric market. The investor-owned utilities like PG&E, San Diego Gas and Electric, and Edison down in Southern California, they traditionally were regulated industries. They had their own power plants. They made electricity, and they put it into the grid. The deregulation forced them to sell all of their power plants, and those power plants were purchased by independent operators and investors who also came in and built some of their own power plants, known as merchant power plants. So they would sell to whoever wanted to buy it, not just in California, but throughout the West. Then it set up, the law set up a thing that no longer exists called the power exchange. That was kind of a trading operation for California that would, at the last minute, get the energy that was needed to run the state at a given time. Then there was the independent system operator that Tyson mentioned, known as Cal ISO. Their main task, in addition to being a marketplace now, is that they operate most of the grid, California's grid, probably about 90% of it, they operate. So it's their job to keep the transmission lines full of electrons coming from within California, coming from British Columbia, coming from throughout the West, coming from wherever. And what happened with the deregulation when it finally kicked in is that the retail prices were capped. That was the amount that you and I would pay on our bill. But the wholesale prices didn't have caps. So the wholesale prices, the retail revenue coming into the electric companies was kind of stable, but their costs for electricity shot up like crazy. And then they were shot up also because of all this Enron-type manipulation. And so that's why you had Pacific Gas Electric went bankrupt. The biggest utility in California suddenly went bankrupt to protect itself. So since then, the system was kind of changed partially back. Not it wasn't re-regulated the way it was in, before, but it was it turned into a hybrid of kind of like a free enterprise and regulated, and that's the way it's been since then. And there's still, as evidenced by all these recent cases, there's still been manipulation, although some experts say it's not on the Wild West scale that it was before. And we haven't really had brownouts or blackouts since then.
Right. So you're saying that change is positive?
Well, the deregulation in 96, which only went along without anyone having any problems until about 2000, that was a total disaster. And it cost the people and businesses and the state many billions of dollars. Since then, it's been corrected somewhat. We're not back to the old school, totally regulated public utility fashion, but it's been fixed somewhat. And then, when we haven't had blackouts, you know, even with San Onofre, which is the a giant nuclear power plant down in Southern California, being shut down, we still haven't had blackouts. So there have been improvements in the grid system since then.
So, and that is Mark Lifshore, business writer with the LA Times. So Tyson Slocum with Public Citizen, what are your thoughts about what Mark said about the fact that there have been some changes since the Enron scandal?
Well, of course there have been changes, but the fundamental market design of allowing power sellers to charge market-based rates and then to provide additional incentive payments in efforts to keep the lights on gives enormous control to power sellers and financial firms at the expense of consumers. And the question for folks in California is, do you want to have more control over the way that prices are set? And the only way to do that is for federal elected officials, you know, Senators Boxer and Feinstein and your House congressional delegation, to start making some demands of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to ensure that there is increased transparency and accountability by the private organization that is managing the daily operation of the electric grid. Because it is that private organization that sets the rules of what power sellers can charge and also polices the market.
And again,
we at Public Citizen do not believe that there's adequate consumer protections. And some of the reforms that we've pushed are establishing a permanent and well-funded Office of Consumer Advocate at the California Independent System Operator that, like the Public Utility Commission, would allow for intervener funding so that groups like Marcel's, the Utility Reform Network, could appear in some of these very complex and expensive to participate proceedings to help ensure that consumers have a good presence. But more importantly, we've got to have a full review of this whole deregulation experiment, and that means requiring FERC to open up a full evidentiary hearing to determine whether or not the daily prices being charged in the California ISO meet the federal test of being just and reasonable. We embarked on this massive experiment to replace monopoly utilities with a deregulated market in the 1990s, and we've never revisited that experiment by having a full evidentiary hearing and investigation to determine whether or not the experiment has worked, and I think the people of California deserve it.
That is Tyson Slocum, Director of Public Citizens Energy Program, and we're talking today about how California's energy market is regulated. We're talking about the recent settlements we've seen. PowerX agreed to pay $750 million to settle allegations that it manipulated the state's power market during the energy crisis of 2000. JPMorgan Chase just agreed to pay $410 million to settle allegations it also manipulated markets here in California and the Midwest. We've got full lines, so let's take a few callers before we go to break, and then we'll definitely still, I still want to get kind of a 101 how this actually works, and how does a bank like JPMorgan Chase manipulate the market. But first, let's go to Max in Berkeley. Hi, Max. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for a good program. I really enjoyed the 101 teaching on what happened with deregulation. I have a couple of questions. You guest mentioned the bankruptcy at PG&E, where I worked for quite a while, for 20 years. It was a very painful experience for very good employees who spent a lifetime working there, in that organization, and people, the employees, as well as the public in general, paid a terrible price. My second question has to do with PG&E. From what I understand, the nuclear power plants were exempt from this this requirement that the power plants be sold. And I wonder how the company has managed. And my second question is this. It seems to me that the settlements really amount to very little compared to the extent to which the public was ripped off. Mm. And my third point is simply this. California was at the vanguard when this thing was implemented, although to some extent they rolled it back. They developed a hybrid system, as explained very well. But to what extent did the rest of the country learn from California's experiment? Mm. So that the worst features of what happened here was avoided elsewhere. Again, I thank you for an excellent program as usual, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, well, thank you for the excellent questions, Max. Marcel, do you want to take Max's question about PG&E and the nuclear plant exemptions?
Well, I think Max is correct that PG&E got an incentive to sell its fossil natural gas-fired power plants, but not its nuclear plant. And so PG&E still owns and controls both its nuclear plant as well as its vast hydroelectric system, which it tried to sell off, by the way, to its private affiliate back in 2000 so that it could make tons of money for shareholders. But we were able to block that. So now we still get the benefit of that hydroelectric power.
All right, thank you. And then, Mark, do you want to take Max's question about the settlements? I mean, when you're looking at, for example, the Canadian company PowerX agreeing to pay $750 million after purchasing huge quantities of electricity and then selling it back at exorbitant prices, how much money are we talking about in terms of, you know, how much did consumers get hit for in this case? Do we know?
No, I don't really know. I mean, the the minister of the Mines and Energy in British Columbia said that they could have had a liability of up to $3.2 billion. So they thought it was a good deal to settle for $750 million. So that gives you an example. That's.
But is it safe to assume that we all got hit somehow when you read about these settlements and these banks and different energy companies that manipulate the market?
Well, if retail... In the crisis of 2000-2001, the retail charges were frozen. So in that case, it was the companies that took the hit because their wholesale charges were not frozen.
Okay.
But eventually, it all trickles down in one form or another to the ratepayers. Every 3 years or so, the Public Utilities Commission...
And hold that thought. Sorry, Mark. I just realized we have to go to break. We'll come back from the break.
Okay.
We'll talk more about the settlements. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
Here on Local Public Radio. If you'd like to join in today's conversation, please call 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. Or send an email, question, or comment to feedback@yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, Holly Kernan will have a conversation about what makes a good charity. There's a new extensive report out from the Center for Investigative Reporting, and they found that hundreds of charities obviously claim to help those in need, but the millions of dollars raised every year, how much actually goes to cancer patients, children, disabled veterans? They found almost nothing. So what questions should we be asking about the organizations we donate to, and how can your dollars do the most good? That's tomorrow. And then coming up on Thursday, we'll talk about the future of the UC system with Janet Napolitano, the former head of Homeland Security, as the new president of UC Berkeley. How was she selected? How transparent was this? And then we'll also talk about the chancellors of the 10 campuses. What do these selections tell us about the future of the UC system? And if you could ask them a question, what would it be? That's Thursday. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about energy in California. How is the energy market regulated? We're talking about a state of 38 million people. This is a lot of energy. So how does this market actually work? We're looking at a couple of settlements in the last few months. PowerX, a Canadian power company, agreed to pay $750 million to settle allegations that it manipulated the state's power market during the energy crisis back in 2000. And then JPMorgan Chase agreed to pay $410 million to settle allegations it also manipulated markets here in California and the Midwest. So what questions do you have about how the market is regulated? What has changed since the Enron scandal in 2000. And we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. We're joined today by Marcel Hauiger, staff attorney with the Utility Reform Network. Mark Lifshire is a business writer with the LA Times covering these issues. And Tyson Slocum is director of Public Citizens Energy Program. So before the break, we were talking about Max's comment that these settlements really amount to little when you look at, well, how much money these companies make and then how much money we have to pay. So, Mark, you were saying at the end of the day, this eventually does trickle down to the citizens' bill?
Yeah, I mean, someone's got to pay for the electricity, so it eventually comes down to the ratepayers. The utilities are definitely not in it as a charity, although they are regulated companies. You have to keep in mind that the electric producing system in California is really complex now. You have the utilities who had once sold off their power plants now have power plants, and they produce a large quantity of their own electricity. Then another quantity comes from these merchant plants that either have long-term contracts with utilities to provide electricity at a fixed price or a range of prices. Then California has a renewable portfolio standard that says by 2020, a third of all the electricity in the state has to come from renewable non-fossil resources. So you've got wind power, you've got solar power, you've got geothermal power, and then another big hunk of the electricity just comes from efficiency, from Californians that have the most efficient electric consumers in the country. So we have people with big screen TVs and television sets and washing machines and furnaces that all use much less electricity than those appliances did in the past. So you put them all together. Where the manipulation comes is when you have an extremely hot day and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the people in the Central Valley where it's really hot, or in the high desert of Southern California where it's even hotter, and they have their air conditioners blasting all the time, and all the buildings have their air conditioners, and all the air conditioners are on, and the supplies get tight, and then the Cal ISO, that's the grid operator that Tyson talked about, up in the suburb of Sacramento, has to find the electricity to keep the lights on. And that's when they go looking for people to sell on the spot market. The spot market is not a long-term contract. It's like, I've got X amount of electricity, and I'll sell it to you for Y amount, and it'll be enough to get you through the end of the day till it gets nighttime. And that's where the manipulations come in.
Okay. go ahead. Marcel, you want to jump in?
Sure. If I could just add a couple points to what Mark was saying, which I think was quite accurate. But two things. One, the manipulation happens because these banks and companies can game the computer software. It doesn't necessarily have to do with a lot of demand and, you know, the state needing lots of electricity. And when we had the brownouts in 2001, those happened in February. They did not happen because of the, you know, we were using lots of electricity for air conditioner. That happened purely because of manipulation. But also, I just wanted to add, you know, in terms of the money, Mark's right, ratepayers footed the bill. But we footed the bill because when the utilities, PG&E and Edison, first lost, you know, upwards of about 10 to 15, at least $15 billion in 2001. That's how much more they paid for electricity than they had paid on average in the prior years, about $15 billion. And then they lost a lot of money, but they reached settlements with the Public Utilities Commission that required ratepayers to basically pay back all of that money, even though by law we were not supposed to pay higher rates. So, and bottom line was that we, the ratepayers, ended up paying for most of that. And, you know, the settlements that have been reached to date with all those banks and companies that manipulated the market amounted, I think, as Mark said, to about $4 billion. So there was a lot of money that we lost and California ratepayers paid for. And I think I agree with Mark completely that things have changed somewhat, but there's a basic physical principle of electricity that is always going to make it easy for these banks that control power plants to manipulate artificial computer markets. And I don't know if you'd like me to just explain that briefly or not.
But please.
So, you know, a lot of economists say we should deregulate because, hey, look at how if we deregulate soybeans or clothes or any other commodity, we get much lower prices. But the main reason, the main way that retailers sell other products is by inventory management. They store things in warehouses and monitor how much demand consumers have and send it to stores. And if all of a sudden there's a huge spike in consumer demand for tomatoes and the store doesn't have it, they'll say, well, too bad. Come back tomorrow. We'll ship it from our warehouse. You cannot do that with electricity. You cannot store electricity. So that means you have to have power plants, and you have to, if consumers, everyone pumps up their air conditioners, as Mark is saying, in a hot summer August afternoon like last week, you have to meet that huge demand instantaneously by second, or else the entire network crashes and you get a huge blackout. And the way you do that is you have lots of power plants standing by that will run if you all of a sudden demand spikes. And it used to be 15 years ago that the utilities owned those plants, or else they would contract. You know, they knew what was going to, what they could control. What we've created with deregulation is a system where this ISO that Tyson was talking about has a huge computer, and they have a they have three complex computer markets to try to deal with meeting that supply and demand, but they don't know what's going to be. So they have a market called the day-ahead market where everybody bids in to say how much power they can produce, and the ISO has complex modeling to forecast how much electricity we will use, the demand, and they try to meet that. But then it's going to be different. So the next day when they really have to supply the power, they have what they call an hour-ahead market, another chance for power plants to bid in case, you know, demand is a little different than they had forecast. And then when you get to the actual moment when you need electricity, they have yet a third market, the real-time energy market. All of those three things provide incredible opportunities for the banks that have purchased, for example, the output from those power plants and control that, to manipulate their bidding, between those different markets to make money.
Wow. And I mean, we're just all sitting here turning on our lights and our computers, not really thinking about the politics and the economics behind this. Just quickly, because we have a lot of calls and I want to get to as many questions as possible, Marcel, when did the banks get involved in this industry? And do you think that they should be involved in something like energy in California?
Well, I don't think so. The banks got involved when the utilities sold their power plants, and at first they sold them mostly to other utilities that, you know, have affiliate companies that operate power plants in other states. And by the way, PG&E, back to Max's call, had the same thing. They used money that they got to buy power plants in New England. But anyway, but then after a while, some banks either bought those power plants directly or entered into financial agreements where they would control the output from the power plants. And that's what, so deregulation has made possible for these different actors to control the output from power plant or just to buy and trade, such as Enron didn't really own many power plants. They just bought output and traded it.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. If you look at what kind of company Enron was, it was not a traditional energy company. It was a financial derivatives trading firm. And that's exactly what J.P. Morgan is. They, as Marcel said, they didn't own these power plants in California. They controlled the output of the electricity from the power plants and became de facto owners in that way. The bottom line is, as long as California has rules and laws in place that treat electricity like a speculative commodity, like a casino commodity, consumers are going to continue to lose. The question is, should electricity, with its unique characteristics that don't allow for easy competition for many of the reasons Marcel articulated, should we allow electricity to become yet another speculative commodity? Mm-hmm. We've seen the harm that occurs, and I am not confident that a truly competitive fair marketplace for electricity can serve consumers. And I think the big asterisk here is the municipal power systems like the city of Los Angeles, which although they participate in this market, the fact is their rates are set based upon the cost of electricity. It is a cost of service model, and that's why the city of Los Angeles is able to deliver, for the most part, lower priced electricity than other parts of the state because it is fully regulated by municipal officials as opposed to leaving it up to the marketplace.
Well, why can't we do that here? And how are they able to do that?
Well, they've been a municipal entity for an awful long time, and it would be awfully expensive for, say, the Bay Area or other areas to start from scratch and to acquire power generation because that's all going to cost a lot of money. I'm sure Marcel and others might have some ideas about how that can be done, but the city of Los Angeles, even though it's definitely not a perfect utility, lots of activists have issues with certain elements of it, but the one thing that it's able to do is to deliver far more affordable and reliable electricity without the absurdities of the rest of the marketplace.
That is Tyson Slocum, Director of Public Citizens Energy Program. Mark Lifshur is a business writer with the LA Times, and Marcel Hauiger is staff attorney with the Utility Reform Network. On today's Your Call, we continue our Agenda for a New Economy series, Agenda for a New Energy System series, we should call it, talking about energy manipulation, how the energy market works in California. And we're talking about the recent settlements, PowerX, $750 million, J.P. Morgan Chase, $410 million. They settled allegations that they manipulated energy markets in the state. And we've got actually one line open, and I will try to get to all of your questions. This is really interesting and something I don't think people think about very often. We all get our bills and maybe sometimes yell and wonder why they're so high from PG&E, but a lot of people don't know about the politics and the economics behind this. So if you have any questions, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Max's last question was, what has the rest of the country learned from California? And then James, who couldn't stay on, has a related question. Is this happening all over the country or just in California? Tyson, do you want to take those?
Well, about half the country is deregulated in a similar way as to California, and the rest of the country remains under a vertically integrated cost of service model. So the area where I live, Washington, D.C., is part of actually the largest regional deregulated marketplace, PJM, and there have been numerous problems with market manipulation in PJM, as there have been in the California independent system operator. The bottom line is we have not had a full investigation as to whether or not these experimental markets are actually working. And that's something that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission needs to do. And listeners need to get their federal elected representatives engaged on this. This is not something that can be solved in Sacramento. The power over these wholesale markets lies with federal officials, and they're not hearing from California officials on the need to improve transparency and accountability in these markets to ensure that we maximize consumer protections. So if FERC isn't hearing from federal lawmakers in California, then they're not going to change.
All right. Well, thank you for the questions. And is just quickly, is manipulation happening across the country?
Well, there have been numerous manipulation cases in other markets. Most of them have been flagged in California, but we don't know if that's because the California market is more susceptible to manipulation or because its market monitors are more diligent in catching wrongdoing. Mm. We don't know because FERC won't release the underlying data of market activity. It's all locked up in this black box of these private organizations that operate these markets. I'm very uncomfortable with private organizations running electricity markets. They need to be fully publicly accountable, and that's part of the reforms that we're pushing at Public Citizen.
And if I can give you one example.
Sure,
I think
Marcel.
In March 2012, FERC entered into a settlement with another energy company, Constellation, for $245 million for trading violations in New York State. So clearly this is happening in other places, and you know, for those companies, maybe $200 million, $400 million is not huge, but for most of us, these are pretty big settlements amounts.
Well, thank you again for the question. Let's take two calls back-to-back about energy bills, and then we'll get responses. Let's go to Ken in San Francisco. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, hey, good morning. This is fascinating, and it reminds me of hearing what derivatives were for the first time. It's so complicated. Quick cut. I'm wondering how much the fraud is responsible for tripling my energy bill in the one-bedroom apartment I've lived in for 20 years. And then also, isn't the check that we citizens of California have, the CPUC, which some wags have said stands for Can't Protect Us Californians, aren't they the check, the cop on the beat who's supposed to go after this manipulation? And also, a friend who works for the CPUC said to me that the aggressiveness with which they go after violations is really dependent on who's in the governor's office, and that sometimes there you choose a director who's a go-getter, and then that go-getter was taken out during the Schwarzenegger administration. Any comments on the CPUC?
Thank you. When did your bill triple, and was there any reason for it?
No, it's over the 20 years I've gone from paying $10 a month, roughly, to $30 a month. And that's, you know, one person here, and that's all, you know, I'm surprised we don't get gradual increases, like turning up the boiling water on the frog on the stove doesn't feel it. I don't think that people are just assuming, well, everything's more expensive these days. They don't really look at it. I mean, I'm looking at a bill from 15 years ago and just seeing how the prices have gone up.
Huh. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ken. We'll get a response in just a minute. Let's first go to Michelle in Monterey Bay. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I kind of have the same situation in regards to Ken. My father is a veteran. He's elderly. And we started noticing that his bills were going up ever since my stepsisters had moved out about 20, 25 years ago. And so I took it upon myself to start doing some research in regards to lowering his bill. And one of the things I was able to do was switch his supplier for his natural gas, so we were able to cut that a little bit. But in regards to electricity, I was Googling some different things in regards to energy efficiency, and I came across this link for a, I guess, symposium they had sponsored by the White House, which basically stated that they were having entrepreneurs show different ideas in regards to inspiring the public to lower their consumption. And so a lot of them were like social apps, and so one of the ones that, or two of them that I wanted to sign my father up for were, one was like a social app where you can compete with your neighbors, and then I guess maybe there was some kind of reward or whatever. And then there was another social app that was from a company out of Hawaii where they would send messages during the day saying, you know, turn up your thermostat for so many hours or do this for so many hours, and then if you do this, we'll give you airline miles. So I called the utility company to see, hey, are you guys, you know, planning on getting these new rebate programs from the symposium? And it was, we were basically told, like, you know, your father's in our territory, and pretty much we have the CARE program for low income, and we have the current rebate.
Michelle, I hate to cut you off, but we're almost out of time, and I want to make sure we get your questions answered. So, Mark, do you want to take that one? What is behind the rise in PG&E bills that people are seeing first?
Well, first of all, someone said that their electricity bill tripled in 20 years. I'd venture to say that everything else that you spend is at least tripled. Definitely gasoline for your car, your transportation, your food, everything. The fact is that you know, electric bills are going to go up. Natural gas, while it's come down tremendously in price, and most of the electricity in the state is generated by burning natural gas. Natural gas prices have come down in the last 2 or 3 years tremendously, but previous to that, they had been going up considerably. California has a commitment, and the people of California have indicated in every poll I've ever seen in elections that they're interested in renewable energy. The bottom line is renewable energy costs more, at least it does now. Wind energy is the most economic, but solar energy has come down in cost, but it's still expensive. And there's a bunch of conflicting things that Californians want, and winds up costing more. Now, if you don't get your electricity from a profit-making outfit like PG&E, and you get it from, as you call them, a muni, as Slocum talked about, LADWP, in Sacramento we have SMUD. It's a similar municipal company, and the electric rates are much cheaper in Sacramento than in the neighboring PG&E territory. What's interesting is that Davis a few years ago, which is only about 11 miles west of Sacramento and gets its electricity from PG&E, tried to be annexed to the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, and PG&E spent millions of dollars on an election campaign to persuade people that this was a bad deal. So in the end, the people of Davis voted to keep their electric bills higher. Figure that one out.
The other question we had from our last caller, Michelle, Ken, what about the CPUC? They're supposed to be the cop on the beat. Quick comments on the CPUC, Marcel?
Sure. I mean, they've fallen down on the job for sure. I'd say, you know, in terms of utility bills, three things. One, when we got deregulation and going in 93, we're playing catch-up because the utilities stopped spending any money to maintain their system because they were worried about competition. We're now playing catch-up. Two, the commission and the utilities have essentially refused to prioritize anything. We have now a huge increase in bills because the utilities have to replace lots of stuff that they didn't maintain. But at the same time, they're putting in stuff that we don't need, like smart meters that were supposed to help us. But, you know, you really have to evaluate where can you get the biggest bang for the buck and the most renewable clean energy. And smart meters were a $6 billion waste. And third, part of the reason for that bill increase was exactly the fact that we had to pay for the $15 billion after 2001, and that really messed up a lot of residential electricity rates. And the PUC just has refused to force the utilities to prioritize their spending and has basically given them every wish list over the past 10 years.
So, Tyson, we've got about a minute and a half left, and you've been saying throughout the show that if you want to take action on this, you've got to focus on politicians in D.C., Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Nancy Pelosi, your representative. Have they come down on this issue? I mean, what are their strongest statements post-Enron?
They've been remarkably silent, and that's the problem, because they're not hearing from the people of California, because I think most people in the state, when there's a problem with the utility bills, they're contacting the local utility or they're contacting their local officials. But the fact is that the mess of the wholesale electricity market is 100% the jurisdiction of federal officials, and we have to engage federal officials on finding a solution. And part of those solutions are calling for an Office of Consumer Advocate, both at the California ISO and at FERC, so that consumers have a more powerful voice within those institutions, and demanding that FERC conduct an immediate review of all of the operations of the California ISO to determine whether or not all electric rates being charged Californians meet the federal test of being just and reasonable. Those are the two main reforms that we can look at. And the third thing is, why on earth are investment banks in the market to begin with? You know, since receiving the TARP taxpayer bailout in 2008, J.P. Morgan has posted profits of $79 billion.
Wow.
And they have made very lucrative markets out of speculative commodities like electricity. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what value for consumers is provided when J.P. Morgan is in this electricity market? We think that consumers are harmed by their presence in these markets.
Tyson Slocum is director of Public Citizens Energy Program. Mark Lifshire is a business writer with the L.A. Times. Marcel Hauiger, a staff attorney with TURN. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thanks for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. What makes a good charity? On the next Your Call, we'll talk about how to find out if a charity is trustworthy and effective. According to the Center for Investigative Reporting, hundreds of charities claim to help those in need, but of the millions of dollars raised each year, how much goes to cancer patients, disabled veterans, and dying children? Almost nothing. So what questions should we be asking, and how can your dollars do the most good? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with Holly Kernan and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.